Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's that second show coming out on Saturdays. Hold up the cleaning. Hold up doing anything else. Put the egos off to the side. The Sports Talk Saturdays podcast, hosted by Bruce Kessinger out there in Oakland. Scott Morgenroth back from a 26-hour drive in South Florida. He's in St. Augustine right now, outside the Jags, as they host the Tennessee Titans tonight. Prime time, the main event on Saturday night. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this in Los Angeles. 112 now, live, strong. We're taking it. And by the way, before I lay the red carpet, put the podium in its place and hand it off to Bruce, Carlos, you should not drink this early in the morning in Los Angeles. Stop it, man. You're going to ruin your liver. The Dodgers are trash. They're not going nowhere. And Bruce, as I give it over to you, the threes, as I get it over to Scott after that, and then I'll sit and man the board. First of all, how are you, 2023? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, what a show today.
Indeed. I am doing okay. Thank you very much, Mark. I can be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com or on Facebook. Over to you, Scott.
All right. Well, glad to be back in 2023. Looking forward to topping 2022. Zach, you can find me on Twitter @TribuneSouth, or please subscribe for free, F-R-E-E, to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Please subscribe for free. Glad to be back on with Bruce and Mark every week. And missed it, but, you know, the holidays are what they are, and I feel very refreshed and rejuvenated, and I'm going to have a big night up in northern Florida covering the Jaguars and the Titans on the national stage.
Indeed. Well, first off, congratulations to DeMar Hamlin. It looks like he's going to recover from the injury and be a functional human being. I'm very, very happy about that. And you were mentioning earlier, Scott, about the other heart incident that happened on the field. Why don't you go ahead and give your little vent about that?
I'd be more than happy to, Bruce. I was 8 years old at the time that it occurred at Detroit Tiger Stadium, but a wide receiver by the name of Chuck Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S, is the only death ever to be on in a live NFL game. And I'm going to tell you right now, I happened to be at the game with my dad, and I'll tell you, I had nightmares that night. What happened was Chuck Hughes was just running off the field or kind of jogging very nonchalantly, and all of a sudden he collapsed, and that was it. And it was just the most unbelievable thing I have ever seen. Today is the only time it's ever happened. But if you go to ESPN, they said it's never happened before. And I think during the course of my week, Bruce and Mark, that I was so angry because I'm an old school journalist, okay? And when they go out there and say it's never happened before, and I'm going to call out Herman Edwards, who says he's been in the game for 55 years, a man 68 years old, and said he'd never heard about it. Herman, you ever heard of Google? Use it, okay? You know better than that. And again, throughout the course of the week, nobody knew about it. The only ones that did know about it and mentioned it were on PTI with Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser, both of whom I met and are consummate professionals. But ESPN should be an absolute shame of itself for not mentioning Chuck Hughes and going deep enough into research to mention this thing. And as a result, on the Sports Exchange and Inside the Pigskin, I did a couple shows on it, and I'll be writing an article as well, and I'm glad we have it bring it to the forefront. But I'm not taking anything away by any means from DeMar Hamlin. I'm glad that the technology was good and that the attention was first class to get him in a position where he did not become the second person to die in the field. I don't want to take away from that, but I also want to pay my respects to Chuck Hughes because, you know, Bruce, you know, when you see a situation like that when you're 8, it's your first exposure to death. And here's the thing, as I recall it, Dick Butkus yelled over to the officials and said, we need to get some help. This guy is out. And the game was played for a minute and 2 seconds, and you could hear a pin drop at Tiger Stadium. And I think that's the thing that's annoyed me all week, how Chuck Hughes got overlooked. Now, I guess for whatever it's worth, I've done two shows, and now that Chuck Hughes' death here has really been a big point of topic now because no more people are being made aware of it. But I don't care what organization you are. You got to go do a much better job. And ESPN laid a first-class egg in their coverage of it is what they've done.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want to take away from anything, but, you know, it's the right to know. And if you're going to be in the media profession, you better be able to do your job efficiently and make no factual errors, let alone omissions. And the worldwide leader in sports took a major hit for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I remember seeing a picture of Dick Butkus sort of standing over Hughes,
right.
Because, of course, we didn't get that game live back then because they just did the locals for the local stations.
Right.
But yeah, I remember it pretty vividly. It's like, wow, that was that's kind of unusual. You never expect that of an athlete, and he wasn't hit. So yeah, remember that.
How would you to be there when it happened?
Yeah, I wasn't there.
How would you like to be there when it happened? Exactly, that's my point.
Yeah.
And I was involved in two other situations where a guy by the name of Mike Utley was paralyzed over at the Pontiac Silverdome, and Reggie Brown got seriously injured, and they were both career enders. So when you're in the business, Bruce, okay, and you're covering these things, in those two instances I was covering them, and in Chuck Hughes' case, I haven't been there. They're not things you really want to look at. I mean, you know, and to me, it's hard. It really, really, really is hard. And, you know, I mean, again, when I heard about this, I was driving back from Wisconsin. So I didn't have the opportunity to look at the play. I hear it was just a basic hit, and all of a sudden, poor Hamlin went down, and then he collapsed. And of course, everything went out of whack at that point. So, and the rest is history with all the scheduling and all the stuff that's going on all week, which I've tried to stay away after a while. I just got burned out of hearing too much of it. Not to a point where I'm burned out about the fact I want the young man to recover. But I got more burned out about the lack of journalistic profession that took place and being able to acknowledge a past incident that occurred in many instances. That's all. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I certainly was stunned by it. I'd never seen anything like it before in my life because, of course, I didn't see the Chuck Hughes game. This was the first time I'd seen it on television. Even I had a couple of friends call up who got in late and said, what the heck happened here? And I said, yeah, that the man collapsed. Looks like he's got some kind of a heart problem, and they were manning it, you know? It's a fluke. Because I heard, is the NFL going to do about it? It's a fluke. It's a violent sport. You mentioned Mike Utley. We've mentioned Chuck Hughes, although
right.
he wasn't hit when that happened. You've also got
Reggie Brown, too.
Yeah, Dennis Byrd, of course, Daryl Stingley. So, you know, you've had guys who've been on the verge of being, you know, in that situation where they're in a wheelchair or something, and that being Everett for Buffalo and, of course, Ryan Shazier.
Don't get me started on Daryl Stingley, man. I'm telling you, don't even do it. I got a story to tell you there that when I was working for ABC Radio in Detroit, you know, I was a producer, that Jack the Assassin Tatum should have been on my show, and he stiffed us and didn't show up. And I was producing the show at the time and, you know, wonder why he didn't show up because he knew darn well we were going to ask him questions about the devastating Stingley hit. And to me, I have no respect for Jack Tatum. I was actually working with a guest host that day because the regular guy was off. And the guy said, what are we going to do when he doesn't show up? I said, his name was Mike. I won't get the last name. So we're going to open the lines up and let the fans talk all they wanted to. We did. I said, how much you getting paid for the show? Gives me X amount of dollars. At least some money going in the bank. You and I will make the best of it. The guy thanked me 9 times over for getting through it. And for me, I was only 17 years old when I had to deal with that. But, you know, I mean, but don't get me started on Stingley. Because that was unfortunate. He never owned up to it.
I didn't intend on getting you started on it when I mentioned his name.
I'm kidding with you. Come on, Bruce. Yeah. I haven't talked to you in a few weeks, for Pete. I can get you okay. going a little bit. I've all this bottled energy inside of me where I'm running around all over the road. My wife and my family, you know, for my 60th birthday, I was on a go-kart playing at Dave and Buster's, and oh, maybe I'll get them a sponsor one of these days. And, of course, out there eating dinner. And, you know, they see I just turned 60, finally hit the 6-0 club. And it's okay to get me wound up, Bruce. You don't know. I mean, you know, I got a caged lion here. And let's not forget the Detroit Lions are playing for something on Sunday night, too. Pun intended. Okay. So there
speaking of which, yes. So what we have here in the aftermath of all of this is confusion. I understand that they don't want to repeat the game, et cetera, but you have a situation where you have the Bengals and the Bills both beat Kansas City. The Kansas City has got a better winning percentage. That's the word.
Right.
They can't have that home field advantage. They wouldn't deserve it. They're not better than both of those teams at this point. I mean, how do you do this? They're talking about a neutral site.
Right.
I guess I'm going to have to accept what they do, although it's kind of weird. You know, it's just not, you know, you're talking about the playoffs. It's not like the snow game where Buffalo had to go to Detroit or something like that. This is
right,
one where
right.
I don't have an answer, but I don't think that KC should have a home field advantage. And the neutral site thing, I just don't know. And maybe I understand why you wouldn't have it in Cincinnati should Cincinnati come out on top, being that occurrence with DeMar Hamlin happened in that stadium. And, you know, you probably could hear a pin drop there, too. I don't know whether they wanted to have that Buffalo-Cincinnati game there again. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are I think you should have it if they played the game, which they've already made a decision to have a no contest there. Yeah, I understand it. Remember, in my game with the Chuck Hughes thing, there was a minute and 2 seconds till we finished the game, and it was a major silence. I understand the reason for not doing it. I think maybe they jumped the gun a little bit on this one. Maybe that they could have done it. They just didn't want to, and they said, it's not worth the trouble, whether it's scheduling or whatever. So I think there's more to be said. I guess they're talking neutral site right now. So, you know, I guess in the end, the NFL had to deal with all kinds of scheduling situations. If you could get through COVID-19 and go through 9 million cancellations, now what's one game here? But in the end, regardless of where the game is played, you know, if these two teams play each other wherever it may be, the better team's going to win anyway. So what's the difference if they schedule it in Anchorage, Alaska, Minnesota, Detroit, wherever? You know, it doesn't make any difference. You know, you got 60 minutes or so or maybe longer to decide the outcome of the football game. And, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals are a hungry team, and Buffalo could be playing off emotion. I've seen so many games being played off emotion turn the other way. So you're going to have a battle of two heavyweights regardless of where this thing is played. But, you know, I can understand both sides.
Yeah, I can too. I think the best thing was if you're going to do it at a neutral site, Cincinnati and Buffalo, I mean, put it in some place of which has got a decent proximity to each of those cities so that the fans from each city can come and watch their team.
Amazingly enough, how you say that is I know that Ford Field is supposed to be getting new turf. Now, I don't know whether the NFL is telling them, well, hold off a little bit. Maybe this is a neutral site because Cincinnati's about 4 hours up I-75. They could play it in Detroit. And we know Buffalo played there twice this year, and that may be as close to a home field advantage as you could probably get anyways, being a four-hour proximity. So, excuse me, I think proximity-wise, Detroit would be the ideal place. But I guess we'll see how this whole thing plays out. I'm still trying to get more information. So if you wonder why I'm a little bit unsure of some things, I think a lot of us are unsure. You know, in pre-production, though, you know, I was kind of surprised that the NFL didn't add the A team because during 2020 they said they would add an A team if a game or two was canceled. But what transpired there and them not doing it, I don't have an answer. But listen, you know what, Bruce, my name is Scott, the Motor City Madmouth. I'm not Albert Einstein or Sigmund Freud. I don't have the psychology or intelligence to go out there and figure this stuff out. All I simply do is report on it and broadcast about it is what I really basically do. And that's what I can, you know, it'll be the same. But in the end, you know what? The better team will end up winning. What should these two teams face each other again? It's just been a weird, bizarre week. It really is. And on a Monday night football.
Yeah.
And
it
here's
was
the thing that I should...
Yep.
Here's the thing I should point out that probably nobody on the planet even recognized, and that's this. Things get magnified so much more on Monday Night Football because once upon a time, Lawrence Taylor ended Joe Theismann's career on Monday night, and everybody was caught in a tizzy when that happened.
Oh, yeah.
So,
the snap heard around the world.
Yeah, pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, so we have, so tell me, we got any interesting comments and everybody taking a shot at now that I'm back?
Why, your timing is excellent. This is Daryl from Fort Myers, Florida. Mancini is crazy. Dolphins don't need to fire coach. Fire the whole city. Pittsburgh, it's the Pits. Well, that's somebody's opinion of a city. That doesn't matter. But, no, you don't fire McDaniel. I don't like the idea of having first-year coach and getting fired after one season. It's like Urban Meyer or Nathaniel Hackett, where there's complete obvious incompetence. I think that a lot of what happened was Tua's concussions caused this bit of a losing streak. I didn't like it when Steve Wilks got fired in Arizona after 1 year. So I think most of the time a 1 year coach should not be fired.
Let me tell you this. Well, I don't know. There are cases. Cam Cameron laid an egg in Miami when he went 1-15. But you bring up an interesting point, and I'm glad this caller mentioned it, okay? The Miami Dolphins right now are 0-5 and are on a five-game losing streak, and a couple of those losses occurred out in California. So, you know, obviously they lost to the Patriots, and they lost to the Bills, some tough divisional opponents. So I understand where this guy is coming from. But think about this. Brian Flores was 1-7, and he ended up having an 8-8 record. And now, what's his name? Mike McDaniel is 7-3. He's at 8-8. So no matter who the coach is, it's being able to make sure that you have a little good luck and the quarterback doesn't go down either. But you have two coaches between Brian Flores and Mike McDaniel that are 8-8. You know, it's how you're playing in December is what matters. And the Dolphins were close to getting in under Flores. He got run out of town. And, of course, now you bring in Mike McDaniel, who's an offensive genius, but Mike McDaniel can't prevent Tua Tagovailoa from having a concussion issue. So, you know, sometimes you make a mistake and you have to fire somebody after a year. Yeah, I mean, it happens. If the record's so atrocious, what are you going to do? The Wilks one, I agree with you. I think Steve Wilks simply got hosed out in Arizona, and I hope he gets a full-time gig out in Carolina. I know they have to go through the regular hiring process, but I think ultimately Steve Wilks will get a second chance in Carolina. He's done a really good job for the Panthers.
I want to see him have more than the interim tag. It's said a lot of these guys when they just because they say interim certainly do deserve a second year. I think that was the mistake the Raiders made with Passaggi, or I think that was his name. He gets them to the playoffs, and then in whatever Mark Davis's world where I have to make a big splash, he hires somebody else instead of being practical. But do you think Tua should retire?
You know, that's an excellent question. It really, really is. I don't think he will. I think if the head injuries continue to reoccur, they do. And, you know, it's funny how you bring that question up. I've suffered a series of concussions in the last year, and I'm still fighting it, and it just takes a while because you have noise sensitivity, and I'm not in a contact sport. I had a couple bad falls and mishaps, and I don't care whether you're a player or not. Don't treat a head injury lightly, and you have to. So I think he should. I don't think he will, at least for another year or two. But if it were me and you're acting on the side of caution, yes, but the kid won't. It'll take another year or two before it unfortunately comes to an end. Remember, Troy Aikman went down because of head injuries as well. And ironically, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will be calling tonight's Jaguars and Titans game. Although they're away from us. So I don't really have access to the game announcers anyways. I think he should, but I don't think it will. I really think.
Well,
so it could be about a year or two, but we'll see.
Yeah,
he's not playing this weekend, though.
Now, yeah, once, and I'm, you mentioned Aikman, and once you get the ball rolling, and that's an ugly way of putting it, with concussions, the other guy, I remember, who was like, he was taking light hits, and you would see him being helped off the field, and that was Chris Miller with the Rams and the Falcons. You saw him, and it was like, he'd be woozy on lesser hits. When you start seeing that happen, it's time to go, you know?
Yeah, and but you got to remember the thing about Chris Miller, though. Injuries a lot more seriously, Bruce, now than they ever have. So I think that, if you look at what today's rules are, medicine and all the CTE and all the lawsuits involved, you know, when you see a guy with a head injury, you think he's wobbling like a weeble. Then I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that becomes a different situation altogether. But I like the example.
Yeah, okay. And you're in Jacksonville. So what do you think about tonight's game?
Gonna be great. I'm pulling for the Jaguars. So let me give you, if you know anything about what my travel schedule's been like, Bruce, the last few weeks, I was in Jacksonville for the Jaguars and the Dallas Cowboys and saw the Jaguars come from behind and beat the Cowboys in one of the greatest regular season games I've ever seen. So then we go up to Wisconsin for a couple of weeks or so, and now I'm back here. So I'm booking ending two Jacksonville trips between a Wisconsin. We're going to be a pretty interesting game. I think Doug Peterson should get consideration for Coach of the Year. His quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, seems to think that too. So it'll be a great one tonight. I'm glad that Jacksonville, and for that matter, the Detroit Lions, two teams that were the worst teams in the league last year, are actually on week 18 in prime time at night. It's going to be unbelievably electric. So, yeah, of course I'm going to pull for the Jaguars. I mean, think about it. Doug Peterson had to go ahead and try to clean up that dumpster fire that Urban Meyer created, because that's what it was, man. It was a dumpster fire. Daryl Bevel tried to do the best he could for two or three weeks, and all of a sudden you bring in Doug Peterson. And I'll tell you, what I've done on a lot of my shows all year, though, is I'm going to tell you right now, and you hear it, and remember what I'm telling you, Bruce, okay? Not Urban Meyer, correct me there, but Doug Peterson gets him to a Super Bowl, let alone wins one or two, this guy's going to have a statue outside of TIAA Bank Stadium, is what they call it, in a matter of who knows how many years. So that's unbelievable. You know, Zay Jones, Travis Etienne, Trayvon Walker, this is a very inspired group. And Doug Peterson, is saving Trevor Lawrence from being a bust. How many quarterbacks have been ruined because you have a bad offensive coordinator and a bad head coach? I've seen my share. You wouldn't have enough airtime to be able to go over that number, so you better just budget 5, 6, 7, 8 shows if you want me to participate in those conversations. And you don't have it, and I'm not worried about it. But I think it's going to be a great game tonight. I mean, with that said, let's talk about the particulars here. Okay, and I'm going to give you some hard statistics. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 4-1 in their last five games. Their last loss occurred to the Detroit Lions 40-14 at Ford Field. But the Jacksonville Jaguars have scored 384 points, given up 334 with a 50-plus differential, and they're on a four-game winning streak. Whereas the Tennessee – and they're 8-8. The Tennessee Titans, on the other hand, are 7 wins, 9 losses. They've scored 282 points, given up 339 with a minus 57 differential, and they're 0-5 and going on a six-game losing streak. So you've got a four-game winning streak versus a six-game losing streak. I'm not even sure who the quarterback's going to be for the Titans, and I'm not really particularly care, but I do know right now that, to me, I like what's going on with Jacksonville. I don't want to curse my Jaguars. I just don't want to do it. But I do believe they will win anyways. It'll be a great post game if it does, man. I guarantee when we do this thing next Saturday, okay, I'll give you plenty of hay and information about what took place. Mark my word.
Okay, yeah, and I agree with you that Jacksonville's going to win that game. Tennessee's going in the opposite direction. And, frankly, it doesn't matter who's the quarterback. The other two are green, and I don't think that Tannehill's got it, period. You can't rely on Derrick Henry to get – they can't score points.
Well, maybe man Derek Carr might wind up in Tennessee. You never know. I've seen crazier things happen.
That could.
I don't know.
Really, I think the big mistake that was made and that got the general manager fired, I don't think that Vrabel deserves to be fired, but the general manager trading A.J. Brown Same mistake
that
Bill O'Brien. Yeah, the same mistake Bill O'Brien did with DeAndre Hopkins. You just traded your best weapon for your quarterback, and he may not be the best quarterback of all time, but at least he's got that guy.
Excellent example.
Got that guy.
Yeah,
that's
a great example. You can't trade your top playmaker and leave a quarterback crippled in that area. You can't do it, and you have two franchises that committed self-inflicted wounds, and all of a sudden they're in dysfunctional situations. So what are we looking like in the chat room? Anybody want to go out there and challenge me all day long? I'm ready. I've had enough caffeine to keep me busy, so bring on all comers. I'm on my second Diet Mountain Dew. I've had like 3 or 4 Diet Cokes. I'm going to need every ounce of that caffeine tonight when I get back to the hotel at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning anyway. So what do we got out in the chat room, Bruce?
Well, we got Ann from Huntington. Ann from Huntington Beach, who we've known for quite some time out here. Of course, everything is about Southern California, the Padres, the Chargers, and the Lakers. The Lakers? that's all my comment on that. The Chargers have a shot. Brandon Staley, one thing I thought he's improved upon was like less of what I would call the idiotic gamble. Like the 4th-and-1 in your own territory. They're getting better. I don't see them getting to the top there, but it's a nice team. There's pros there. The Padres? Yeah, the Padres, of course. And the fact that the Dodgers released Trevor Bauer, I understand their reasoning. I'm not against it, but your pitching staff kind of needed him at this point. I think that that's a strategic move. For them, it's not good. As far as, morals or something like that, I would say, okay. Your thoughts?
Yeah, what Trevor Bauer did was inexcusable. He'd be lucky to get a job for the Savannah Bananas, okay, out here in Georgia, and then he could be a clown like the rest of all. I hear they're an entertaining brand is what they are. So I wouldn't bring on Trevor Bauer there. I have no problem with that. I mean, the guy committed some serious serious issues. I wouldn't bring him on either. He's a public relations nightmare. You can't hide around that, Bruce. There's no way you can do that. I mean, and everybody talk about the Lakers? Well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it wouldn't matter if Mickey Mouse was the coach of that team, although no disrespect to Darvin Ham. You got an aging LeBron James who's playing pretty good basketball, and you have a bunch of misfits out there. But no, I don't think Trevor Bauer will land a job. Maybe he will. Maybe somebody will be desperate to do it. But the Dodgers had to make that decision, Bruce. They did.
Yeah. Well, the difference between him and Deshaun Watson, and I'm not condoning any of it, was Deshaun Watson did pay those people off. Bauer was of course got the MLB suspension, but there's the fact is, though, there was an investigation, and they did not bring charges. The law did not bring charges. That would have happened with Watson if there wasn't a deal made. So I'm not saying that Bauer's a good guy, but there was no legal precedent for him not to come back. So whoever takes him, they got baggage, but he is not, he was not paying people off, and he is not considered a criminal, but at least in the eyes of the regular law, not MLB. So,
you bring on an interesting point, though, Bruce. Hold on. You bring on a really good, interesting point. So what I'm going to tell you is the harsher standards that MLB set for this sort of behavior is obviously what did Trevor Bauer in. It really is. Where the NFL, I like the way they neatly had Deshaun Watson play his first game back in Houston, and they still didn't draw anybody for it anyway, even though the idea was you think you were going to benefit there as well. But, you're talking about, to me what Trevor Bauer did was completely inexcusable. It really, really was. But because of the penalties were so much more severe, obviously they got reduced. But by then, substantially, Bruce, doesn't mean anything because now the teams are not going to want to bring him in anyways. I'd find it hard to believe, but you never know. There might be one team willing to give him a second chance, pay him pennies on the dollar, and see how he behaves for a year, and go from there. And that's the thing. But I'm not Oh, that's a tough one. I hate comparing Watson to Trevor Bauer, and I don't think in both cases they had charges against him. It just depends on which one is the bigger black eye for the sport and how far the team's willing to go to pay the person at all. I mean, think about it. Deshaun Watson got $230 million guaranteed from a desperate Browns team that's never been to a Super Bowl, with arguably the worst owner in pro sports. And the Dodgers obviously aren't the worst owners at all. They're obviously first class. They have the only thing I can say about the Dodgers, they haven't won a world championship in a full season in who knows how long. And I think the Dodgers are Mark Mancini's kicking boy anyway. So anytime Mark Mancini gets a chance to take a shot at the Dodgers, you're giving this guy ammunition to do it. But and the producer.
I'm a Giants fan and I can't stand him. But boy, he sometimes outdoes me. Yeah. We got some more folks out here. I'll spare the baseball for now. Arnie from Pensacola. Phillies Astros World Series again. I can see it. The Phillies are certainly loading up.
I don't see that one. I don't see the Astros going anywhere. The losses, Bruce, when you lose a horse like Justin Verlander and some of the players, I don't see the Astros getting back. I really don't.
Yeah.
I can see the Mets probably getting there in Philadelphia. I'm probably, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, okay, maybe I could see those two. But, the best part about baseball, you have 162 games to find out who's getting in the tournament anyways. So you'll know who is going to be what. But, no, I don't see the Astros getting there. I'm not really sure who would get there. I guess I could never count out the New York Yankees. They retain Aaron Judge. I think the one thing the Yankees are doing is they actually brought in your old man, Brian Sabian, to helping out over Omar Minaya in the front office. So the more baseball minds you actually have there, I think Rodon is also with them. So I like what the Yankees are doing. But no to the Astros, Bruce. No way, buddy.
No, I understand that. So we got Frank from Germantown, Pennsylvania. Eagles-Giants game tomorrow. He's going there. Fly, Eagles, fly. The Eagles, I don't see the Giants trying to put a huge emphasis on this game because they're in the playoffs and they have, and for the first time in a long time, I don't see them throwing their starters or maybe starting them a little bit, but throwing them to the wolves, so to speak. The Eagles have a reason to win this, obviously, because if the Niners win, it's a home field advantage situation. I think Jalen Hurts is questionable. Or is he out?
I haven't heard. I can check on it if you want. To me, it doesn't make any difference. Here's the deal. Okay, the Giants are on house money. Nobody expected anything to happen with them at all. You know, and the fact that Brian Daboll has done a phenomenal job with that franchise, you know, reviving them from oblivion and maybe giving you a reason to want to reconsider keeping Daniel Jones. And, again, you're only as good as a healthy Saquon Barkley. So, whether the Eagles face any adversity, they need Jalen Hurts healthy in the playoffs. I'm not going to really worry about what happens toward the end of the regular season. You know, the one thing about the NFL, though, Bruce, compared to other leagues, no matter what record you have, you just better be healthy when the tournament comes. I've seen teams win 9-7 records, and we've seen, obviously, the New England Patriots had an undefeated year, 17-18-0, including the playoffs, happened. The Giants ended up beating them. So the NFL is a different animal. It just is. So you got to be – it's not the best team. I would say it's probably the healthiest team. So I'm not going to get – if I were a betting man, I would say it's probably between the Eagles or the healthy Jalen Hurts, or I'll say I like what the 49ers are doing. So, I mean, who would have thought Brock Purdy would be the guy, who's a pilot getting into the playoffs? But that's been a great story with the Mr. Irrelevant.
It's been fantastic.
He became relevant as well.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question, though.
Let me ask you a question. Do you actually consider a quarterback that could be a Mr. Irrelevant when he had a pretty good career at Iowa State? Because to me, you could talk about other positions being Mr. Irrelevant, but you only have 7 rounds. And I started many, many years ago, the draft used to have 12 to 18 rounds, and those guys would have been picked up in 8, 9, 10 rounds rather than being late. But what do you think? Should a quarterback position be considered a really legitimate Mr. Irrelevant?
I think if that's the case, it's just been refuted by Brock Purdy. I'm going to say no.
Well, you're laughing because
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, you're laughing because you haven't heard me talk in 3 or 4 weeks anyway. You see, I have all this energy without a tablet in front of me bombarding you with questions that were probably just in my wheelhouse anyhow. But, no, I'm just kidding with you, Bruce. No, I'm not really.
Yeah, there's as a matter of fact, I think there's far more irrelevant quarterbacks starting this week. Nathan Peterman starting for the Bears.
Kessinger. Good segue, man. You know, there might be hope for you as a broadcaster after all, Kessinger. Yeah, that was there might be hope. If you're hearing this, man, Steve, there might be hope for Kessinger after all in broadcasting, knowing that he's mentioning Nathan Peterman and Brock Purdy in the same sentence. Who would have thunk that, man? Good stuff. And by the way, for anybody that really cares, Malik Willis is one of the quarterbacks of the Tennessee Titans, although I don't know if he's going to be playing tonight. If you call me later on my cell phone, I'll let you know who the quarterback if you're not watching it anyways.
Okay. I think Malik Willis is not that bad.
He's the future of the Titans. He'll be the future.
I mean, I don't know how much longer Tannehill's contract runs. I would let him go if you can, but go with the future. And Derek Carr, not a bad guy. Again, though, he's somebody who needs a weapon as well, and they have to draft a wide receiver.
In the case of Derek Carr, he did get a wide receiver in Devontae Adams. In the case of Tannehill, he lost one. So where do you really draw the connection where you took you gave one guy a playmaker and he couldn't do anything with it? I guess, you know, they always say no crying in baseball. Don't tell that to Derek Carr when it comes to crying in football. That's another analogy for another day. But, you know, maybe in Derek's case, the change of scenery is in order. I don't know. And I think we'll probably be talking about those discussions next week, not so much going into week 18. So, you know, you mentioned it before. You can't take away top-notch targets for a lot of these teams. I think the Baltimore Ravens had one dealt, you know, and the list goes on and on and on, you know. But where do you go? I think Malik Willis, the problem that you have, though, with a lot of these mobile athletic quarterbacks, it's their shelf life is a whole lot smaller than it is with a lot of the pocket passers. They really are. And Malik Willis, again, was, I think, a second or third round pick. He came later in the draft. And he could be a hidden gem at some point if he's handled properly. And I'm going to get back to what I told you. How many quarterbacks are ruined because you don't have a good head coach and an offensive coordinator to bring them along slow? If you want an example, look at Zach Wilson. He should have sat a couple of years. But like Robert Saleh will say, okay, everybody's in this instant coffee mindset of moving, rushing these guys along. And Robert Saleh's right. The only thing Robert Saleh's wrong is he didn't even know Chuck Hughes died, and he's from the Metro Detroit area out in Dearborn. Shame on you, Robert, but you got the quarterback part right.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of quarterbacks, we're going to go back to the Raiders here. It seems to me that I would say, well, not that I'm – again, they are no longer in Oakland, but if you were a Raider fan, say – and I believe the Raiders were still in the playoff picture when they played the 49ers. And you decided you're benching your starting quarterback because you don't want him to get hurt and pay him $40 million. But nevertheless, you're still in the playoff hunt. Don't you consider that somewhat an insult to the fans, or the fans are going to look at you and say, you cheap blank? You know,
as a matter of fact, I don't. No, and that's a great question too. I don't think that's the case at all. You certainly don't want to go ahead and risk trade value or any kind of value you can get for a guy who's in a lame duck situation that's not going to do anything there. And you know what? If the Packers did not have their late season run and they're playing for the playoffs, Jordan Love would have been the starting quarterback the last 2 or 3 weeks, but the Packers got in it. I think the Raiders are in an everything to gain, nothing to lose situation where you have Jared Stidham there, who actually played under Josh McDaniels. What do you got to lose at this point, seeing what the kid could do for 2 full games and not jeopardize any value that you could get in return? I know a lot of people think I'm crazy for saying this, but no, I mean, the Raiders, we're talking about the AFC West here, right, Bruce, that was considered on paper one of the best divisions going into the year. And that turned out to be a dumpster fire. Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson, holy moly, who saw that one coming, okay? We all knew Kansas City was going to be good. We all knew that the Chargers, the only way the coach keeps his job is he gets into the playoffs, so Brandon Staley's safer in the air. And a lot of people thought that Josh McDaniels would be the answer, and I think they should have kept Rich Bisaccia. And you mentioned that earlier in the show. So I think that I disagree with that thought. You know, just leave it alone and see if Carr can land somewhere else. Get whatever draft capital you can get for him, and then see what you got, Jared Sim. You're getting valuable film on this kid. Doesn't he deserve a chance to be the next quarterback to see if you've got anything? Either you have a good backup or a potential open a starting quarterback where you have an open competition next year. What Jared Stidham is what you really have, right?
Yeah.
I know where you're going. Okay. I disagree with you, though, about the Carr thing. I do.
And then you're going to have – well, you have a situation, and I don't think he's going to get a gigantic contract based on two games, no matter what he does today. But Stidham is a free agent at the end of this year.
I don't think he cares about the contract right now. The guy wants an opportunity to play.
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten that yet, Bruce. Forget the contract. Yeah, I mean, don't worry. Quarterbacks get paid if you're any good. They will. It's obviously the most demanding position on the field. If he's going to become a free agent, then these two games here will certainly find out if he's worth anything. People will measure him on film as well as stats and the system that he went. You know, we'll see how the quarterback situation plays out over the next several weeks. Right now, what's happening right now with Jared Stidham is the same thing that's happening with Baker Mayfield. You're auditioning for 31 other teams is what you are, period. You're auditioning, Bruce, okay, for 31 other teams whether you're a worthwhile possible starter. And there's probably only, I would say, half a dozen jobs where you might have a chance. Some franchises are already set up for a while, but there's about a dozen that aren't. I don't see that quarterback situation in Carolina resolved.
Yeah. I think that they're going to go in with Darnold starting next year. Although I think he's a free agent as well. You're looking it's interesting. You're talking about a couple of games and getting auditioning for other teams. Those can turn into disasters. And I know you'll recall the name Scott Mitchell.
Can't you? I can't stand you already. God almighty. Yeah. Eric Kramer should have been the guy that should have been the starting quarterback. Yeah, no, that was.
And then you had Rob Johnson. Those are the two I can think
of. Johnson. Yeah, no, the Scott Mitchell situation was interesting because when the Super Bowl was held here in Jacksonville, Super Bowl 39, ironically, between the Eagles and the Patriots, I talked to Eric Kramer and I said, Eric, you know what? You're the guy who should have gotten a starting quarterback job, not Scott Mitchell, who, you know, studied under Dan Marino. We all saw how that worked out. That was a fire there. But, no, I'm glad you brought it up, Bruce. I mean, you know, you just because you auditioned. See, the thing that people have to understand, though, Bruce, is sometimes a quarterback is a product of his system, not because he has the God-given ability. You know what I mean? And if you're in a good system, you're going to succeed. If you're not, then you become human again. You know what I mean? But, yeah, the Lions, you know, again, you know, everybody will tell me, well, was Joey Harrington a bust? I say in a lot of ways, no, because there was so much instability with the head coach and the offensive coordinator. But yet on the surface, statistically, in the way it turned out, they could make a case for it either way. And the case for Scott Mitchell, you make a valid point. And I lived it because I'm covering the team. So I understand it totally. And Scott Mitchell, by the way, for whatever it's worth, is a Facebook friend of mine. I've only talked to him one or two times and chatted with him. But, no, again, it's a product of the system is really what it is. But, you know, I don't know. What about the kid Flynn? Yeah, well, I don't know. Derek Carr's had a decent career. He really has. He had a lot of players around him, and they've had a lot of coaches. I'm trying to remember, is it Matt Flynn, I believe it was, who actually was signed by the
– Oh, yeah, Green Bay, yeah.
Right, yeah. He had a monstrous year, actually, ironically, in Lambeau, and they beat the Lions there. And then he got a contract with Seattle, and Russell Wilson was a starter when they had an open competition. And we know how Matt Flynn made a lot of money, wound up going back to Green Bay. We know how that situation worked out. So,
right.
You know, you just never know. You could have one or two great games, and it doesn't turn out there well at all. It doesn't. So quarterback to me is like watching Batman. and Robin. It's like being around the Riddler is what it is, or the Joker.
Okay, I won't do my imitation. I won't do my imitations of those two criminals from the Batman show on television.
Yeah, well, again, you know, I've been away for a while, so you're getting hit. Well, don't worry, I got plenty of one-liners over the next several weeks. You don't have to worry about that, Bruce.
Okay.
But, I know you do remember. I do know that you remember Batman and Robin, right?
Of course. Who doesn't?
Okay,
so
you know who doesn't? I'll tell you, all the people at ESPN don't, because they couldn't figure out Chuck Hughes. These people don't go past 50 years, and Herman Wedford probably doesn't know him either. Ooh,
yeah,
that's a low blow to ESPN.
It is.
Good.
And we're going to talk here. Our friend Joey from Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and we have to here. He says, hey, guys, great show as always. Thank you, Joey. Been hearing vaccine mandate in NFL might have caused this. When I'm saying this, I'm assuming that he's talking about the DeMar Hamlin situation. And he said, any ideas? He's taken four boosters. Joey, I've taken three or four also. They're going to find out. I don't know whether that could have caused what happened to Hamlin.
That's the first I've heard about any of the vaccines boosters. All I can tell you is I've had two vaccines plus one booster and haven't done anything after that. So I can't answer.
Yeah.
You know what, my friend?
I
can't answer that, and I'm going to stay away from that one.
I will, too, because I'm not in the medical profession. And again, I did hear about this from somebody else, and it might have been Mancini. And I said, you know, it's one of those things where you'll eventually find out. You know, I can't answer that, Joey. I wish I could, because I know you're out there and one of our fans. And we're gonna go back. I think, say the Jaguars win this. And how far do you think they can go in the playoffs?
Well, you know what? They could be dangerous. If they win this game, I could see them winning at least one game. I'm not sure about the rest of the league. It could be interesting. They're a dangerous out is what they are. I could see, you know, listen, if you go ahead and host a playoff game in your place, especially in a small town like we have up out here, I could see them winning at least one game. They're dangerous.
Yeah.
Didn't I mention earlier, okay, Bruce, that if you get hot at the right time going into the tournament, anything could happen? This is one of those teams right now that is playing on house money. Doug Peterson told me a couple weeks ago at the Dallas games that this thing could have gone a lot of different ways 3 or 4 weeks ago, is what he told me when I was at the Cowboys game. And he said this thing could have gone 3 or 4 different ways, three or four weeks ago, and they didn't. They kept winning, and you see, I mean, they had a great holiday season, didn't they? Think about it. They beat the Cowboys. Then they bounced back 4 days later, knock off the Jets. If that wasn't good enough, they went on New Year's. You can't have a better holiday season than what the Jaguars had. So I could see them winning one, and they could sneak up and win another one. You just never know. They're dangerous, this team. You know, they have some pretty capable wide receivers. You've got Marvin Jones Jr., Zay Jones, and Travis Etienne, and they have a pretty good defense. So, you know, there's nothing worse than having a heavy favorite playing a team that's on house money, Bruce. Just remember that.
Yeah.
Am I going to put them in the Super Bowl? No, I won't do that. But you won one playoff game considering you were the worst team in the league last year. Don't you think that was a pretty good season? If it isn't, there's something madly wrong with me. Forget my concussion issues. I'm a mad scientist there. So answer your own question. Go on. What do you think?
I think that you're correct, but I'm also looking at some of our listeners sending their things in. Here we go. Albert from Poway, California. That's near San Diego. Homer broadcast. Wow, really? Talk about a homer. Chargers are going to the Super Bowl. He said something bad about Mark Mancini, and he said, you prop up your crap teams, the Niners and the Jags. They're crap, huh? Really? Yeah,
Everybody likes to kick Mancini around. Mancini is a brother from another mother. He gets his beating with me once in a while. And he's like Gomer Pyle, okay? He, you know what, golly, but he keeps coming back from work because he lives off this stuff, man. So, you know, hey, Mark, he's a harmless guy. He just has some interesting opinions, like all of us do in this business. Name a competent media person that doesn't have a sound, interesting opinion. You know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and kiss Mancini's backside. I don't have to, okay? You know, when we do our thing together, you know, we have the most interesting 30, 40 minutes you'll ever see. We have the fastest 30 to 40 minutes that you'll ever see if you ever join our broadcast. And realize that these two guys aren't broadcasters. They're animals.
We have Jack from Marlboro, Massachusetts. Come on. Patriots, Chargers, Ravens can all go down to that swamp and beat the Jags. Lawrence is overrated. Hey, Scott, how much are you getting paid? Stop the tequila shots. Wow.
Oh, you know, right now, my friend, I wouldn't mind a tequila shot because that would be the only thing that would give me any sleep anyways after making the drive from South Florida to Jacksonville. And by the way, my friend, I don't like tequila shots. I much prefer a strong frozen margarita with a lot of alcohol in it. So, man, if you want to take a shot at me, at least get my damn alcohol drink right, and then I'll be more than happy to respond to it. I'm really on a roll when I get two or three of those strawberry margaritas.
Okay.
And if this guy has any sense at all, let him go to New Orleans and have some Pat O'Brien or Hurricanes, and then we'll see where this guy's at. He won't be in la-la land. This guy will be in the Indian Ocean or the Red Sea because he's going to feel like he stinks.
Okay.
Go to Pat O'Brien,
tequila.
My friend. Yeah, forget tequila.
Tequila, huh?
This guy doesn't know it's alcohol anyways. This guy needs to have a New Orleans Hurricane for Pat O'Brien. You get this guy's name down, and you know what? You tell him if he can't get to New Orleans, just go ahead and order it at Pat O'Brien. And if he makes it right, I guarantee this guy will change his tone just like we change years from 2022 to 2023. Go on there, Bruce. You do have a computer. Get patobryans.com and tell this guy to pull out his credit card, debit card, whatever, and have a few hurricanes and then come back to me a few weeks later.
I've heard this from my Louisiana friends. And by the way, are you with your margaritas, salt or no salt?
Oh, I like sugar. Forget the soup of salt.
Okay.
Give me some sugar and load that sucker up and make it frozen. I'm good. Won't shut me up, but it'll certainly keep me happy. And if you don't know that, my wife will tell you.
Okay. And Jack, you're in Marlboro, Massachusetts. You're saying Patriots and Lawrence is overrated. You think Mac Jones can compete with Trevor Lawrence? I don't. The Ravens right now can't do anything unless they get Lamar Jackson back. Two out of three of those teams don't stand a chance.
Well, here's the deal with Mr. Marlboro. I didn't know whether they named that after a cigarette. Okay. I don't know how it's spelled. But if they bring a competent offensive coordinator, I hear there's talk that Bill O'Brien could be going back there. Mac Jones' career isn't really in dire straits. I think he could get fixed pretty quickly with a proper offensive coordinator. If you think Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are the answers, then Santa Claus is Jewish. And yes, I don't mind mentioning it now because we're just past Christmas, okay? It doesn't matter. So I think Mac Jones can get fixed easily, bring a competent offensive coordinator from a guy who actually lives in a town, and I don't smoke, by the way, so I don't mind insulting the cigarette company Marlboro. But I would need the correct pronunciation on that.
And by the way, it is spelled the same way.
Is it M-A-R-L-B-O-R? Boy, I'll tell you, my diet Mountain Dew is very potent, and it's working some magic today. My wife's laughing so hard. She says, where do you come up with all this stuff? Don't worry, sweetheart. I don't have a game tonight. And she'll be there with me taking pictures.
Okay, we've got something that maybe you know about that I don't. Might have just happened. We have Ron from Utica, New York. So the Patriots have just suspended two players. Very interesting. Must be a payoff to get Mancini and his crap team in the playoffs. Who did they suspend?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I'm just listening to you and paying attention to the comments.
Yeah,
this is one of those deals, Bruce, where I've got to listen to you and just respond to the our audience. That doesn't matter. I don't mind researching to some extent, but it's all about
we're not in a position to do that. Yeah, we can't do that right now anyway. We only have about 5 minutes left in the show.
Well, I mean, I got a tablet. I just don't think that the thing who the Patriots are suspending to me is really that big of a deal. It doesn't matter. I don't think if they do get in the playoffs, they're not going very far. So it doesn't make any difference to me. I can't lick a dick. I really don't care.
In fact, the thing the thing about this Patriots team actually is they're dreadfully boring. You know, that's another thing that's wrong in there.
Well, that's an understatement there, pal. So we know that they've been boring all year. You know, the fact that Bill Belichick has them even in a position to be in a playoff spot, more power to them, but they need to get the offensive coordinator situation. I know we're probably running out of time anyways, but who knows? Any more interesting things in the chat that we can address?
Okay. Well, we had Mancini babbling earlier about coaches getting fired. We've already redressed McDaniel. I thought this scenario, which is Cliff Kingsbury gets canned in Arizona, which I would say deservedly so. And maybe they try to get Sean Payton. Well, I think Payton would be the right guy for Kyler Murray.
Well, you know, again, Sean Payton will be in high demand. What I'd like to do, if that's okay with you, is why don't you plan on next Saturday talking about the coaching situation a little bit. I think we could have, with a little bit of time invested in this whole thing, we could probably make some pretty interesting predictions. How does that sound? But Sean Payton will be able to pick his job, that's all I'll say. And we'll leave that as a teaser, is what we'll do. He could pick his job. It won't be the Chargers, though. If I were a betting man right now, I would say he could go to Denver because the owners of that team are from Walmart, and they have deep pockets. They can pay him whatever the heck he wants. And he's the only one that I think could fix Russell Wilson. But, yeah, he has some good material out there for next week. But if you insist to keep our people interested, I'd say Sean Payton to the Broncos. They have a job. They have to obviously apply. But I'm going to say one thing that I mentioned on Inside the Pigskin on Thursday night, that I think Mike Tomlin has done one of his best coaching jobs ever. And the fact that this team has a chance to be over 500 with Kenny Pickett as quarterback his first year says a lot about Tomlin and the Steelers. That I didn't see that one coming out. And I am pulling for Pittsburgh to win so they can be over 500, and it's what they've had to deal with all year.
I agree with you about Tomlin. I think it's kind of subtle what he's done there. I mean, by the way, for all the hype, I think the Cleveland Browns are going to be a mess for a while. I don't think you don't fire Stefanski because he didn't know what he was going to get into this year with the quarterback situation.
Well, he did know what he was getting into. He knew that his high-priced quarterback wasn't going to be available majority of the year, so you can't let him go based on Deshaun Watson.
I think he deserves
another year. He should be spared. But knowing the Haslams, they probably would, because that's how badly that ownership is. But I think Stefanski deserves a pass at least 1 year with a full deck.
Yeah, they stink. As far as the Vikings in the playoffs, I think they get bounced in the first round.
No doubt about
it.
Yeah, they're a quick out.
Yeah, I've never been sold on Kirk Cousins.
That's probably the shortest answer I've ever given you about a particular subject, a quick out. Okay, you don't get many, but that'll be one you do.
Okay.
So you have a hard time when I give you short – you have a hard time, Kessinger, when I give you short statements because you're not used to it.
We're blabbermouths. And gosh, we're getting close to that.
Paying the topic.
Well, our moments of blabber are about to come to an end as time is running out on us. Scott, tell those wonderful folks out there, especially our friend in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, how to get a hold of you.
All right. Well, you know what, folks, if you bother to go on Twitter, look for South Florida Tribune at Tribune South. It's at Tribune South. If you want to go out there and hear me more in action or see me, go ahead and subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel, South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button. It doesn't cost you anything but a little bit of effort for free. Okay, that's not a gimmick. Just go out there and do it. South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Please subscribe, and then you'll see everything I have to say and hear what I got to say. Great being back, Bruce. It's really been a lot of fun here from Northern Florida. Well, it always has when we get to do this stuff. So my words of wisdom for Mark Mancini, he better be root for Jacksonville tonight if he wants to know what he's talking about on Tuesday night. That's a teaser if they win. All right, Mancini, so just get the hint. Okay, go ahead, Bruce.
Okay, and folks, you can, again, reach me at holyroller91978@gmail.com. By the way, that name and that date is significant. I'll let you figure it out. And you can get me on Facebook. And Happy New Year to all of you folks. And enjoy this football weekend.
All right. Well, it's been great. Thanks, Bruce.